Welcome to the Agony Booth. We are back and we are ready to watch some crappy Star Trek. I am your main host here, Commander Jace, VHS Jace. Next to me is the Captain, Captain Joe Dove. How are you, mate?
I am well, despite the weird sound of my voice, because I got a little bit of the gamble playing in Vegas and I didn't win any money, but I did manage to snag our guest as well as COVID. So I did that.
Brilliant.
Awesome. So I guess what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas, does it?
Not at all.
I was convinced it's the phasia you have, or space syphilis, as I like to call it.
No.
Move on. Jason Roy Gaston, how are you, mate?
I am broadcasting from a remote planet, but overall I'm well. I haven't heard any growling, and the Gorn bites aren't as bad as they say they are.
Yeah, fair enough. And of course,
it's more of a nibble.
Bit of a love bite. And yeah, of course, joining us, a very special guest, Jesse from Open Pike Night. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Absolute pleasure to be here, guys. I was fortunate enough to meet Joe at Star Trek Las Vegas and fortunate enough not to come home with COVID. Oh. I don't know how I pulled that off. I think it's pure luck. But I am actually sitting here in an unsecured location, just getting ready to start crying about the wait for season 3 of Strange New Worlds, because
It's not going to be that long, is it? I mean, there's nothing that's keeping it from being long, is there?
It should be pretty quick, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be about a 5-year mission, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'll be as long as the next James Cameron movie. You know?
Yeah,
seriously, pretty quick.
Mike's hair is going to be 9 inches high by season 3.
I did hear that the AMPTP has claimed they're ready to come back to the table for the WGA, so fingers are crossed for that. But you know, hopefully, it's better than that doubling the 0% of residuals they got last time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And more on that later, actually. We're going to be talking about that a little later on. But right now, we're going to be talking about that episode from Voyager, Coda.
Ooh.
Now, I think the only way to talk about this is to get straight into it, Joe. And what the f*** did we just watch?
All right. I miss those chicken legs.
That's the reaction we all had, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that the reaction? That's the reaction I had from watching this.
Yeah.
Let's find out what you really first thought about this. We're going to start with you, Captain. What was your initial thoughts of going back and rewatching Coda?
So it was very interesting because it was so disjointed. It was like so much going on. I almost felt like watching Inception again because it was just like so many of the same story with a different alternate ending. I was often confused and wondered maybe I took one too many of my COVID pills because it was, I was like, wait, didn't we do this already? Wait, she's on the floor? Wait, she's in sick bay? Where are we? So I ended up watching it twice to make sure I wasn't in a COVID fog because you get that. And I wasn't, but I was thoroughly confused nevertheless. And, you know, I also have to bring up the Beltran elephant in the room. That crazy man brought some crazy acting of blandness to this episode. It was so, Captain, you're going to have to wake up. Captain, don't die on me, Janeway. It was just so wooden. You know what I mean?
Ouch. Poor Robert. Poor Robert at all. Let's move on to the man below me. That's Jason Roy Gaston. Yes, I know. We won't go there, Jace.
Oh.
Move on. What did you think of the episode?
So this one is a weird one to me. It's like they took all their ideas that they could not develop and just smushed them together in one episode. As Joe said, it was very disjointed. It was very confusing. And the ultimate outcome was just not good. And I have more thoughts on that, but I will set on them for now. Like an angry little tea kettle.
And Jesse, mate, how was your... Were you filled with joy at the end of this episode? Did you feel like you could take life on after watching Coda again?
That's a really good way to phrase this. So when Joe asked if one of us could join for the show, I was like, I love going on Star Trek podcasts. I love all Star Trek, except for Enterprise. Don't at me. And I was like, you know what? This will be a great chance to revisit Voyager. I do really like Voyager. It was, I believe, the first Trek that I got to watch as it was airing. But I gotta say, the difference between 90s Trek and new Trek is primarily production value, right? I do wish that they would upscale Voyager to 4K and HD like they did with TNG. But yeah, I mean, this was honestly even before, or maybe immediately right after I had seen the little kerfuffle on social media with Robert Beltran. And so I went into it like, all right, man, like I'm going to try and leave that to the side and just watch the episode for what it is. But I think wooden was a good word. I have never believed someone less when they said, breathe, damn it, breathe. I was like, I feel like you can tell she's breathing and you don't remember that you're on a TV show right now. But I also agree with Jason. There was some oh, they did this in TNG, so they're going to, oh, no, it's not quite like TNG. They're going to, well, okay, I guess it's not like that either. It was just very hodgepodge, very let's see what we can pull out of this, because it seemed clear to me that the writers knew they were up against, you know, other time loop episodes. And they were like, how do we subvert that expectation? I know, we'll use Q. I mean, not really Q, but like, there was just so many pieces to this that didn't feel like they fit. And we'll get into the specifics, of course, but I mean, woof, right? Like,
yeah.
This episode is rough.
Yeah.
Rough. I came at it with a different kind of thing because I've been seeing so many episodes of Voyager I've been revisiting have been extremely disappointing. I'd actually gone, you know what? This at least isn't Threshold. This at least isn't this. This at least isn't Twisted. That. And Twisted is another one. By the way, season two, when you go through season two, we have done so many episodes from season two on this show from Voyager, hey. You've got to go back and check it out. Like, season two is awful. And season three gets a bit muddy too around this period. It's either really hit or miss. And it's a ghost episode, right? It's a heaven and hell, angel and devil. It's a devil in disguise, whatever you want to kind of get at. That's the simplicity of it. Does anything really happen in this episode of any consequence? Not really, does it? And you're right about subverting expectations. It is the real obvious, like, yeah, we're doing time. No, we're not. It's a ghost story. Oh, no, it's not. It's a religious allegory. It's, you know, whatever. But at least seeing Robert Beltran on that episode, I thought, oh, look at him trying. And then I remembered all his tweets. And then I went, you suck. And then kept going on. So,
you're not even trying, man.
Yeah.
That's it. All right, let's get into... Why would you do that? Joe, why would you do that?
There's nothing there.
It's pretty clear about this episode that there's nothing there. So let's mix it up. Let's go in reverse this time. Jesse, I'm going to throw it to you, mate. Get a bit into it. Why doesn't this episode work?
I think this episode doesn't work because it's playing with too many Trek tropes, right? Like, I love a good Trek trope, you know? I'm here for it. Like, give me an omnipotent being who's sticking you into spiritual limbo and making you play some kind of game. I'm fine with that, you know? Give me a time loop episode where you have a very clear problem to solve. I'm cool with that. Give me... you know, out of phase characters, right? Where they have to like reach through people and figure out why they're not falling through the deck plating, etc. But when you do all of that at the same time, it really doesn't give, to me, any impression other than we know Trekkies are watching this and we don't want them to be able to call the ending of this. But I guess there is a bright spot here, and that is the evil holographic doctor. Like, Robert Picardo on the other side of Robert Beltran, like, complete opposite end of the spectrum, I believed him. I was like...
Yeah, he was cold as, right?
Yeah, this is intense. Like, Picardo, give me some more of that.
Yeah,
but it's... I think it really does just suffer from trying to do too many things. And I love, love, love Kate Mulgrew, but the delivery on the line of go back to hell was like not great, and then she had a little bit of a swallow with it, like go back to hell, oh, should I have said that? Like she's not timid. Why did she appear timid in that scene? I just I didn't quite go for the ride, right?
Yeah.
And another thing I do appreciate, though, is that they catch on, like, right away. Like, hey, something is weird about this. I feel like I remember doing this before. As a Trekkie, I'm glad that they didn't take, like, 5 trips through this anomaly to figure that out. But in a weird way, that actually works against it because it just moves too fast through that portion of the story. Now, I did really like getting to see a classic Star Trek planet with classic paper mache rocks. It was,
it
felt really good. Yeah, yeah. I'm used to the AR wall that they have on Strange New Worlds now, but it's like there is something to be said for very good physical production design and good props. And this has at least those things.
How many times do you reckon that rock walls have been used throughout Trek? Because it'd be the same set of, you know, fake walls that would be rolling out over the last 15 years of that show.
15? I think those are TOS rocks.
Probably so.
They just spray paint different colors, you know.
All right, Joe, mate, what did you think? Why doesn't this episode work for you?
It doesn't work for me, like we said. It's because it's very all over the place. It was like an amalgamation of different stories that they tried to impose on us to subvert expectations, as Jesse said so eloquently. I also think that the other thing that didn't work was you didn't get a full gist of the cast. It was so focused on Chakotay being the puppet that he is, the wooden man in the corner, so to speak, rather than exploring some of the other characters. Like where Kes, you had a moment with Kes where she's, oh, I can feel the presence, and then you had Tuvok trying to mind meld with her, and then B'Elanna didn't exist in this episode, and it was like, where? You know, like
she got her little moment at the
at
the funeral.
They even mentioned her, like, did she help with this? And they just went, no, she can't.
No, it was weird. It was so weird. It was like, what? And then we didn't really get much of Neelix either. Now I know he's an iffy subject for Voyager. I go back and forth. I appreciate the man and I appreciate the character. But he was barely there too, and it was like, it was so awkward to have these instances where it just didn't mesh. And to have a good secular storytelling, it works best if everything meshes well together. If you have an issue, a resolution, and a solve, then we've got a good deal. But this one was, we've got confusion, we've got issues, we've got more confusion, and then, oh yeah, it was, I'm bad, bye! You know, it was just so random. And those were the ins and outs for me.
Jace, why didn't you fall in love with this episode?
Oh, my goodness, because I knew it would end in heartbreak. So here's the thing. First of all, we respect Neelix in this house. The man is a treasure, and you don't deserve him.
Hey, mate, what about, he's a bit dark on Tuvok, though. I thought that was a bit mean. Trying to isolate Tuvok from the next talent show.
Yeah, that was kind of mean, but yeah. Okay. So here's why I did not like this episode. First of all, as everybody said, it's a confused hodgepodge, mishmash mess, and it's all over the place. But more than anything, whenever Janeway goes through this semi-spiritual journey, she doesn't learn anything. She doesn't change. There was an episode that aired not long before this one called Sacred Ground, in which Kes is zapped by an alien gateway and Janeway has to undergo these spiritual trials to save her. And at the end, Janeway is left wondering, was it science or was it something else? And you could tell something switched in her head. With this one, nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was status quo at the end. It was a mild inconvenience at best. As we've said, I'm actually going to go a little bit easy on Beltran today. I really liked the scenes in the shuttlecraft before all the goofiness broke out, because whenever him and Mulgrew were together, they had really good chemistry. It was just whenever anything else happened is whenever he fell apart. So for those first few minutes, I thought he was pretty good. I did not like the guest star. I had these great notes, but I'm having to broadcast on my phone, so I can't get to my notes. But I didn't like the guest star who played Captain Janeway's father. I thought he was very milquetoast. I thought he was very boring. I think he was just trying to emote this sense of unease so you didn't trust him. I didn't trust him already. He didn't need to do that. More than anything, though, you cannot have an episode build tension by pretending that the main character is dead.
Yeah.
Because we know that she's not.
Even though the ghost thing that came out of the wall, like that's
kind of dead. We knew from the very beginning she was not in danger. She was not dead. She was going to be okay at the end. The only thing that would have saved this episode was the journey that Janeway had to go through. And they didn't give it to us. They didn't even try. And I think that's what gets me is that this episode, to me, it seems like they took rejected ideas, balled them together, threw them up against the wall, and did not even try.
Wow. Damn. I felt the episode, everything was on the nose too much.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very simplistic take of other stories, including her Charles Dickens-esque journey of looking at her past, present, and future in ghost form kind of attempt, which was again vanilla plain because there was no stakes really for it. And even the dad, and you showed that image before, Joe, of when he goes, "You go back to hell," and they literally turn the portal red to look like it's hell.
Right.
Like, there is no real, like, everything's just vanilla plain and basic. And that is really kind of disappointing about it. But it's not the worst thing. It's not like it's a terrible episode. It's a just, I don't know, 5.5 or 6 out of 10 in regards to being one of those throwaway episodes, you know? Just meaningless.
Yeah, I would rather have a bad episode than a boring episode. And this was a boring episode.
I'd agree. And you know, Robert Beltram, if we're going to go and talk about his function in the episode as Chakotay, you're right about the chemistry. It works well. But I also see, I've got to be really honest with you, with his big emotional scenes, that's where his biggest faults come in as a performer, is when he has to emote, is where that's we smart. Lose connection with him, I feel anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon the writers knew this. I reckon the studio knew this, and I reckon this is around the time when they started writing less and less for him. Because he gets his obligatory episodes every now and again when he's moved forward, but as we know, we go along in the series, he is not the main focus when he probably initially was supposed to be.
Yeah, if this episode were, let's just say, Crusher and Picard, you believe it, right?
Yeah.
Because like, you know Picard isn't going to die, but... Right. Crusher is emoting in a way where you're like, oh, this is affecting her. This is going to affect the crew. Like, she has no idea. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, like I said, the resuscitation scene, the first one, is like, it's so bad.
Yeah, like,
live, damn you, live.
Yeah, it's like a parody on a scene.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's
Don't you die on me and other cliches.
Damn you.
They took Coochie Moya.
They took tropes that almost always work in any show, like regardless of if it's sci-fi or not, and they somehow didn't sell them. And I really do feel that comes down to Beltran's performance here. Now, the rest of the cast, I mean, they all felt in character to me, right? But to your point about the alien, who is that? Like, is this a problem for other people? Like, is he, you know, he does threaten her, like, someday you'll come back, and it's like...
Well, that's why I think the everything's on the nose theory is, we're leaving it up to the audience. Was he really for heaven? Was he really a demon from hell? Is he an interdimensional being?
He was a butt bug.
He was a result of lazy writing. That's what he was.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always, we talk about the negative, we sometimes got to talk about the positive when we watch these. So it's time for some redeeming features, Joe.
It looks like gold. Tastes like gold.
It is gold.
All right, redeeming features time. Jace, you take it off, mate. Give me some positives out of Coda. What's good about it?
I said that Robert Beltran and Kate Mulgrew, they have great chemistry as long as Chakotay doesn't have to do anything. just their cat. And I don't mean that to sound anywhere near as insulting as I did. It just kind of insulting. But yeah, whenever they're in casual conversation, I buy that they're friends. I buy that they have this affection between them. I'm guessing that for all of Beltran's drama on the show, I do think that Kate Mulgrew and Robert Beltran did have genuine affection for each other as friends. I don't know how well it went along after this season, but for now they did. As for everything else in this episode, I'm struggling to say anything else positive. Headcanon is that the demon dad was a paw wraith, but I can't prove that Voyager picked up a paw wraith whenever it was at Deep Space Nine and it was just like hanging around all this time.
See, that little idea alone would have changed the whole
thing. Yeah, I would have had more respect for this episode.
Yeah. To the episode.
But you know that Rick Berman would be sitting there going, "These people are dumb. They don't know what Paul Rafe is. Let's show more boobies."
That is the best impression of Rick Berman.
I'm going to have to send that clip to Rick Berman.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, include this. Hey, Rick Berman, you suck.
Oh, shots fired.
You should be ashamed of yourself for what you did to Terry.
Terry, controversial here. Especially the positive segment, Jace.
This is where we're talking. That is positive. I'm positive he should be ashamed of himself. Poor Terry Farrell. She just wanted to work a little less. You didn't have to kill her off, you monster.
We got Ezri. Ezri was fun.
Yeah,
Ezri was fun, but Terry was there first.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Joe, back to this episode.
What was some of the good stuff? I did like the original aliens that they had run into that made them fall onto the planet that killed Janeway.
The Vidians.
Yeah, the Vidians. The Vidians, yes. That was a really cool ship, and I thought that was a really cool little space battle that they had exploding stuff. Boo, boo, boo.
Yeah, that's right at the end, yeah. No, that's the shuttle blowing up.
That's the shuttle blowing up.
Yeah.
The shuttle is stuck.
They got shot at, so that's...
That's a positive. The shuttle blew up.
Because I always love a good pew-pew in space. Yep. So you can't go wrong with that. That's very redeeming. I also...
guys are struggling tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough one, really.
Really struggling.
I did like the concept of the main bad. I think that is something you would probably run into in space. Something that exists to absorb your
essence. Space demon?
Not a space demon, like an essence absorber. Like if you watch one of my favorite shows, What We Do in the Shadows, there are the vampires.
Energy vampires.
Yeah, the energy vampires.
Colin Robinson. Colin Robinson?
Yeah.
This is space Colin Robinson. It's an energy vampire.
Oh man, that would be a great crossover. Robert Beltran, you are the worst bastard in the Delta Quadrant.
All right. Well, what do we do this? If you're done with your redeeming features, Joe?
My point was for all of that was your body exists, your corporeal body exists. Matter cannot be created or destroyed, just gets recycled and absorbed into the great cosmos. And of course, there would be a being to absorb that matter in the cosmos, like a black hole. So I thought that the concept of the villain was pretty cool, just not executed that well. And that is food for thought. No.
Jesse, I'm sure you've got some gold nuggets of joy out of this episode. What are they?
Wow, no pressure. I will quickly reiterate, Robert Picardo, bravo, well done, all the way through. Like
MH rocks.
I can't get over how good he was. Yeah, even being arguably pretty evil, you can see the compassion on his face, and you can see that there's some regret that he's like, well, the best way to do this is to just put her out of her misery, and I like that it was clearly illusory at that point, right? Because at this point we're like, okay, how many illusions, how many tricks are going to get pulled on her? But I feel like this is one of the few that actually sold. Now, I will also say I did like the funeral scene because I just enjoy when crew members on a ship get to talk openly about how they feel and, you know, little moments in their day-to-day space life that actually mattered to them and affected them. And I think Harry Kim does a pretty good job of that here. But I don't know. There's not... I do have one small complaint, and I know this isn't really the place for it, but why wasn't her dad in a monster maroon? Like, he's wearing, like... Yeah. He's wearing, yeah, like, a Picard uniform from, like, 3 seasons ago.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's a pretty modern uniform. Eh? Yeah. Maybe that was supposed to be a visual clue to the audience that everything's not right here.
Right.
Oh, that's a good call. I could... That's... Maybe. I mean, you're probably given more faith
way
to
too
them
much
than
credit
I am on that. But I do appreciate... I have to say, because it's true, and if you listen to Open Pike Night, you'll hear me say... I love when writers take big swings, and mm-hmm. I feel like maybe they felt like they were taking a big swing with this episode. It didn't quite connect, right? It was not quite a single. It was, you know, the guy got thrown out at first, but at least they swung hard. So mm-hmm. I will give credit for that at least.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I have a question. How long had Janeway's dad been dead by this point? Did they ever say?
No. I don't remember hearing like he's been dead for 8 years or anything.
Okay, so I was just doing some quick math.
Oh,
from the time of encounter at Farpoint, 15 years has passed before this part of Voyager, and we know that Picard was wearing the TNG TNG uniforms while he was on the Stargazer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's possible he would not be in the monster room. I think it'd be cool if he was, but, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things I just had to figure out because I'm obsessive compulsive like that.
I was going to say, are you sure it's not because you love this episode and you want everybody to see it?
No, I can pretty much I can assure you that is not the reason.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, some things I did like. I kind of like Catherine Janeway in this episode.
Mm.
I thought she had some sweet little moments, including the funeral scene that mentioned Jesse. There's a moment where she's just standing there being stoic. That's what I love about Janeway, by the way, as a female captain. She keeps that stoic side of her throughout her whole thing. Something I have a problem with the Discovery. Michael Burnham is always at the highest of emotional trauma. Anyway, I really liked her performance. I thought it was really, really, really great, even though she did have space syphilis, which is the phage. And that's another thing I like. Anytime they brought that in, for me, it always added an extra dimension to the episode. I liked them as a villain. I think they were underutilized, to be honest with you, and completely in the whole of Voyager. But, yeah, besides that, yeah, there's not a lot that you can turn around and hang your hat on. I probably would agree with you, Jesse, and Rand. Like, I like big swings as well. I like it when they go for creative stretches. But it was so on point, wasn't it? You could tell where they had taken it from. You could almost specifically name the episodes they took this scene from and this, you know, and that from. So it was... It was one of those things. But that's what we want, guys, because it's the agony booth, not the this is awesome stuff. So there we go, Joe. Let's throw it into some aftermath.
All right.
Now, why don't you go back to your quarters? I'll be along shortly to say hello.
Jesse, did you guys go and meet Andy Robinson at the con?
We did not. We, as a Strange New World show, we were deeply focused on making sure we got to all the right tables. And if you listen to our latest episode, you're going to hear a little cameo from one Anson Mount. So
yes,
we were incredibly busy and incredibly overwhelmed with how much fun we were having. I did walk past his table, though, and go, man, he still got it.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Incredible.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, we got some comments here from the crowd. What are they saying about Coda?
We've got a lot of hellos and...
Well, let's blast them. Hello, everyone. We'll get that over and done. Hello, everyone.
Yes, Mom, of course.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Kelly.
To let you know that my nursing home is being attacked by Planet COVID. I must have visited there and not realized.
Well, best of luck, Cosmic Mom. We hope everyone's safe.
And then, of course, my mom is flirting with our guest. Jesse is handsome. Yes, thank you.
That's right. You have to show that,
thank
Joe.
Thank you.
Just make embarrass our guest in front of everyone.
It's all about ratings, man.
Yeah,
it's
Mom, keep it in your wheelchair, okay?
Nothing is Admiral Funniest Frontier. Nothing is Code of Honor.
No, it is not Code of Honor, of course. And then, of course, breathe, damn it, is how the nursing home makes sure you're not dead.
Wow. All right.
Of course, Robert does not pass the vibe check. That's Beltran.
And yes.
Ernesto, the chief.
We don't talk about Beltran.
So this episode is nothing burger. That is for sure.
It is a big nothing burger.
Yes, to the paper mache rocks.
Yes.
That is indeed true. Wooden man in the corner. That's Robert Beltran. Back to that.
He's really copping the love tonight.
Yeah. Not a Neelix fan, sorry.
I will defend Neelix as well. I think Neelix is, like a few characters on Voyager, maybe wasn't handled correctly. Yeah. But in essence, I don't know how you can hate that character. He's got a pure heart, right?
Yeah. He's a Holocaust survivor who wanted to make sure people were fed and happy. How could you hate a man like that?
He's a war veteran, isn't he?
Yeah. Exactly.
And a Holocaust survivor.
He lost his entire family in a genocide. He just wants to make sure that these strangers from the other side of the galaxy are taken care of, and you hate him.
Well, he also has like a 2-year-old girlfriend, which is a little weird.
She is a grown consenting adult, and if you had nothing to say about 204-year-old Sarek being married to 30-something-year-old Perrin, I don't want to hear it.
Oh, I do. But I will throw out that I agree Neelix does have moments throughout the season, throughout the series, and probably, whole episodes where I think they handle him better. If I put them on a scale, though, I think I might like him better as a Ferengi. Like, he played a great Ferengi, and Neelix, to your point, Jace, it felt like maybe they didn't know what they wanted from him when they put that character in. And that's sort of true of a lot of Voyager, right? Where they're like, here's the premise, and we're going to stick to the premise. And then some episodes are like, don't worry about the premise. Let's just do a Star Trek episode. Like,
right.
So I think that happens from time to time where they just sort of drop, fundamental building blocks instead of using them to build a story.
I think he's definitely the victim of what was happening in the writer's room throughout the season 2, season 3, and season 4 issues that they were having. Because if you, from my perspective, you look back at that series, that's a real problematic area for them solidifying what the show was represent and having the characters well-defined at that point. They weren't able to do it. And that's why you'll see these episodes, I think, that are just offend us so much in these seasons because they just don't seem to understand the characters they got. So,
right.
Yeah.
100%. All right. So here we have the debate, so to speak. I don't mind him, to be honest, but Admiral Broth brings up, he isn't Jar Jar, that's for sure. And then Navia says, well, I don't know who I prefer, Jar Jar or Neelix. So if you are listening to the podcast, we're going to make that poll available on Spotify. Let us know who is more
Jar Jar or Neelix.
Yep, all right.
Everyone needs to know the results of that one.
Yes. And we'll share that those results. So make sure you go vote on that. I felt the scene with Chakotay and Janeway were good, but that's the only thing.
There you go.
I think Neelix is less annoying than Jar Jar. And then our good friend Kelly. Len Corral portrayed Janeway's father. He is currently stars in Blue Bloods as the patriarch of the family.
Ah, he does.
That's where I've seen him before.
Well done, Kelly. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Well done. Pronounce your last name, Joe.
Zent Georgi.
Ah, you knew, but I was going to just try to get Joe to hack it.
My apologies.
No, I appreciate
it. I'm the worst. Like, there's no, I looked at her last name and their last name and thought, there is no way I would pronounce that. I would offend them so poorly. So
The
only reason that I can do that is because Kelly is one of our greatest supporters over at Open Pike Night, and I've heard her pronounce her own name, so that's the only way that I'm able to do that.
There it is.
It's better to have a name like that that's like unique and stands out. Not like my boring white name.
Hopefully Robert doesn't watch this episode on Agony Boo.
I hope he does.
I was gonna say,
What's he gonna do? Block us on Twitter?
Yeah.
He doesn't block, he likes to interact, doesn't he? He definitely
He blocks. He blocks.
He
also voiced Harry Bosch in a few books. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's the Philip Ryan, who's an avid book reader and former guest on the show.
Brilliant. And then
our last comment of the night is from Kelly again. You're welcome. Thank you, Jesse. You got my name right.
Yay! There you go. Extra points. There you go. All right, Joe, I think we need to throw to a commercial because then we're going to come back with having a look at our next awesome Star Trek fan.
All right, let's go.
It's invisible.
There is an alien presence here.
It could be in any one of us.
It's invulnerable.
Medical emergency, Deck 7, Section 13 Alpha.
It's invading.
The alien can jump from person to person.
A hidden terror has taken possession of the crew.
Stunner, she's the alien.
What happens next is incredible on an all-new episode of Star Trek Voyager. Saturday, May 6th at 8 p.m. on TV 38.
Now I really want to know what pigsty and platypus man were about.
Wow. That's the first thing I'm thinking. I'm Australian. No, we're the only ones who have platypus. What's the deal there? I've never heard
those of that. Immortal UPN series that everyone will remember forever. Didn't the alien entity turn out to be Chakotay, though?
Oh, I don't know. All I know is
it was like Chakotay
It was incredible.
It was invincible.
It was inhuman.
And indescribably dumb.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about somebody awesome, Joe, without taking a look at our awesome Star Trek fan.
All right.
It's time we celebrate another awesome Star Trek fan. All right, here we are. And this is what we like to do here, Jesse, is we like to look at people out there in fandom and celebrate those little guys out there who throw their heart and soul into it. And what they do, they share it with us online and just, you know, recognize the little guy there out there that, you know, spends a hard-earned money, saves up all year to go to Star Trek Las Vegas, those type of guys. So there you go. We've got a couple of them here, of course.
Yeah.
So, Joe, this week we're going to be looking at a recommended from Jason here, and I agreed immediately when Jason recommended this person because they're absolutely wonderful. And who I'm talking about, of course, is Joe. Take it away.
Lieutenant Commander Ray.
There you go.
Lieutenant Commander Ray is one of those people, if you follow her on Twitter, she is an amazing and such a passionate Star Trek fan. She almost lives and breathes the embodiment of Star Trek. She defends some of the indefendable episodes and series, and without a doubt is an absolute wealth of expansion knowledge for all things that are Star Trek. If you are on TikTok, it's the same Lieutenant Commander Ray, and she will dive into Star Trek things deeply. She's a wonderful, swell person. She has also appeared on the show previously on an Agony Booth, I believe. And she was just a delight to have on and is a delight to know. So we are grateful for Lieutenant Commander Ray, and we salute you, awesome Star Trek fan.
Absolutely. And I think we'll all have something to say on her too, because what I love about her the most with her TikToks, they make me think. She always comes up with really smart comments and comes at things at an angle that I hadn't immediately thought of. So that's what I love about her content. And yeah, she is certainly very supportive of the whole community. Jace, why did you decide to make her this week's awesome Star Trek fan?
Ray is such a bright light of positivity. She radiates positivity. I've never really seen her upset, even whenever she gets just garbage comments. The first thing she says is, oh, well, thank you so much for your question. And now here's what I think. And she's always respectful and she's always kind and classy. I think that's it. Lieutenant Ray is just classy. I love her work. If you're not following her, please do. She deserves way more followers than what she has.
And us too. Make sure you follow.
Good plug, Joe. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
We are neither classy or positive, but you know, you can follow us.
You're both of us.
So, in that sense, let's all give a round of applause to Lieutenant Ray.
Commander Ray.
Thank you for being an awesome Star Trek fan. Brilliant. Now, Joe, that means we've got to throw to the most intellectual part of our show.
Oh.
Stupid Star Trek questions.
Oh, are you ready?
I'm ready. It's time for stupid Star Trek questions.
So that was muted.
Right. Jesse, you can see how overproduced the show is, but...
No, I'm a huge fan of what some people would call overproduction. I think
when you called it that.
When you can see the passion and the effort that goes into a thing, I think it makes it a lot easier to connect with. And that's probably why we didn't connect with this episode of Voyager.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly. Well, thank you for that, those compliments, Jesse. And you can definitely come back on Monday. Considering I'm the guy that makes graphics. But all right. Now, the stupid Star Trek question this week. As anonymous, but it's not a stupid question. Hey guys, what happened to the Strange New Worlds reviews? Well, now we probably got to get into it. The reason why is frankly the strike. So everyone was confused early on. We didn't know what to do. At the same time, I was away working for 3 weeks. Jason Below was away for 3 weeks in Japan. Joe was in the middle of doing work, then Las Vegas and all this other stuff. So there was two factors with that. One was like, we individually decided, well, I'll just speak for myself, that I went, you know what, I love Trek. I'm not going to talk about Trek. But at this stage, it will give us an opportunity to reshape the format. And everybody's been talking about The Agony Beast so much. It's our most requested show, isn't it, Joe?
Correct.
So we took this opportunity to refocus. And this way, we still get to celebrate Trek. But we're not talking about new Trek. We're talking about old Trek. And that's what we decided to do. And that's the reason we're not doing Strange New World review. We probably will do a summary video at some point covering anything. But I will say without... Do we want to briefly say what we thought about that? No, we won't. We'll adhere to our rules. But yeah, there you go. That's why we did it. That's a stupid Star Trek question. It's not really stupid. It's a fair question.
No. All right.
Yeah, anyone else want to say...
Join us next week for more stupid Star Trek questions.
I kind of jumped the gun.
Normally that segment is way cool.
I was going to say something, but I guess I won't now.
Yeah, like, button. Yeah, like Joe's, nope, you're out. There we go. Well, that's it, folks. We've kind of come to the end of the Agony Booth, but we haven't. Because before we end every show, we've got to spin the wheel of agony.
But before we do that, we have a special announcement, right?
Do we have a special announcement?
Yes, we do.
A special announce away, Joe.
We now have Captain Squadron badges.
Oh, my. We have forgot to talk about this.
Yeah, move to the other side.
We have our own comm badges.
Yes, we have our own comm badges. And we want to shout out our buddy Chris from Camille Corporation. You can follow him at Camille Corp. He went through
Insta.
What's that?
On Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram, Twitter, Reels. Is it Reels? Threads? Threads? This is a new one?
Threads.
Yeah. Yep. All those fun things. Chris did the hard work and diligent work of taking Jace's vision and making it a reality. And now we have our own personalized comm badges. So next time when you see me in Las Vegas or Trek Long Island, you'll be seeing me wear that comm badge rather than one of the ones that are in existence because I like my own flavor. And they are true to size, so they are just as big as some of the ones that you see in the shows. So big shout out to Chris.
Yeah, the quality. I said to Joe as soon as the quality of it is so impressive. Just the texture, the quality of paint, and everything. And it's kind of weird.
The latching is amazing.
Yeah, it's weird and cool to just go, hey, this would be cool if we had our own comm badge and here's a picture. And then to literally arrive in the, you know, a delivery driver brings it to me. It's very cool. And special thank you to Captain Joe Dubb who made it all happen.
Indeed.
Good work, mate.
We all have, there it is. Mine says Captain Joe Dubb.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, and everybody's is specially...
One says Aussie Loudmouth. What's
exactly. Everybody's got their special talents written on there, so you're welcome. Oh, sorry, Jason. Yours just says Jason Roy Gaston. I'm sorry. But at least it didn't call it Jason Ray Gaston, like the ship.
Now, that's true of the Captain Quadmat.
Yeah, I saw that. It was hilarious. I don't know who wrote that.
He did not read my handwriting well at all.
All right, these comm badges are very cool. And so we'll have some more announcements around them in the future, guys, hopefully shortly. But now, Joe, we need to spin the wheel of agony. We need
our
to know
favorite.
What we're watching for their next show.
Yes. Are you ready?
Ready. That is not over dramatic at all. At all.
What, no, I love that.
Is that you in the middle of the wheel? What did you do to Gowron?
That is Joe actually inside.
Oh my goodness.
An agonizing booth in Star Trek. Right. Las Vegas.
Oh,
so it seemed appropriate, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I don't know if Jesse, you guys got to stop by the Agonizer booth in the con, and basically a guy named Joe. What a great name. Developed the Agonizer booth for photo ops and everything at the con. I have a brief interview with him, and it just fit so hand in hand. So shout out to Ernesto for putting us together, because I was waiting on the line to meet Ethan Peck. Yep. And he was like, hey, you need to go back over there once you're done with this, getting your autograph, because they have an Agonizer booth and you guys do the Agony booth. It's hand in hand. So big shout out to them. And now you'll see my face spinning round, round, round in our wheel of Agony.
Yeah, and we'll move it on, Joe, because I'm starting to get a little bit nauseous, to be honest. You, yeah. You just spin around and around. I'm going to need to... All right, let's have a look at some of these episodes on here, guys. We've got a couple more. Crappy episodes have been added. Certainly.
Wait a minute. How did you guys put the Magics of Magus 2 on the Wheel of Agony? That is a good episode, and I will defend it to the end.
Wait, what's
that? Well, if we spin it, mate, you might have to come back and defend it. Now, I will say, though, Jesse, so you're not completely brokenhearted, the ones in blue are our ecstasy slices. Just to kind of even it up. So the rest of them, we don't consider that great. But the ones in blue, we consider some of the classics. So now and again, we need to take the agony away and just a touch of ecstasy.
Yes.
Are we ready, people? Let's just spin it and find
out
where the hell
Let's
we
do
end
it.
Up next time.
Oh, I get to go really fast.
I am in agony. Didn't need the sound effects. Just saying. it's the new edition. Ooh. It's a new edition.
Is that? Oh.
Boy, am I glad that gets really big, because I don't have my glasses and I'm like, I can't see with this.
Yeah.
And how do we feel? How do we feel about that? Jason, I'm curious, because your reaction was a bit like, what are you picking on that one for?
Well, I mean, I don't remember disliking it. I kind of think it has some very nice moments in it. I mean, for a season 2 TNG episode, I actually think it's pretty good.
Well, we could blame Joe for this. It's the captain's fault.
Not good a fan one, of this Joe. Episode at all. No, it's boring. boring.
This was the result of another writer's strike, though, because
really?
They took they took a script from the aborted Star Trek Phase 2 television series and rewrote it to be this episode, because it was supposed to be Ilea who was having the alien baby. I have the script for the original episode. I'll have to read through that so that I can be the wise purveyor of knowledge no one cares about.
Yeah, perfect. Jesse, have you remember the child?
So,
what were your thoughts?
I believe this falls into the incredibly far too wide category of Deanna Gets Violated episodes. There are too many of those. Just
yeah.
I'll say that, you know, full stop. Right. But I'm not going to say I fully agree with Jason, but I will say there are good performances in that episode. It's just, it's really weird, right? Like, and that's okay for a sci-fi series, for sure. But, like, the way that they handle some things specifically is a little too weird for me. Deanna is very smart, and I don't like episodes where her emotions, which I get, seem to like overpower her intelligence, right? Like she knows that this isn't her child. She knows that it's weird. She knows that there's some alien stuff going on, but she still kind of, if I remember correctly, she kind of just commits to the bit, which you could argue is admirable, but I don't know. I might have to rewatch that. I don't know if I could rewatch all the episodes on that wheel.
Unfortunately, you don't have to, but we do. So. So that's it. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So every 2 weeks now will be the Agony Booth. Next week, we'll be back with a Captain's Quadrant episode, really fun episode. We'll be announcing that in a day or two. In the meantime, Jesse, where can people find you? Plug away, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, the easiest way to find us is to just go to openpike.com. You can listen to all of our episodes there. or you can follow me on Twitter. I do the socials for our show at Open Pike. Basically, any social media that you can think of, look for at Open Pike, and we will be there. We are, of course, the Strange New Worlds podcast, where your personal logs are the prime directive. We are a call-in show, and we like to put fans in touch with the stars of the show. So we've, at this point, had, I believe, the entire Bridge crew from Strange New Worlds. As I mentioned earlier, we did get a chance to sit down with Anson Mount at Star Trek Las Vegas and talk to him about his podcast, some picket line information, that kind of a thing, and his pottery. If you follow him on Instagram, you'll know he's a great potter. And our show is basically just, it's designed to let you get in touch with the stars without having to go to Star Trek Las Vegas or whatever con it is, right? So if you go to our website.
I live in Australia, not easy.
Perfect. Yeah. If you go to our website and record a 90-second message for whomever our guest happens to be that week, we will play that message directly to said guest, and then they will reply to it directly. I think that's what makes our show, I don't know if the word unique applies, because I'm sure there are other Star Trek call-in shows, but we feel that that's what makes our show special. So check out Open Pike Night wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantastic. Cannot wait. I wouldn't want to be checking those messages when you have Robert Beltram on.
Gotta have Robert Beltram on.
I can't even think of a reason we would. But,
yeah. All right,
imagine
Jace.
He's a special guest of Strange New Worlds.
Oh, my gosh. I really hope that doesn't happen, because then... Because then my producer will go get him. Like,
we got to get him on.
Yeah.
That's
brilliant. All right, Jace. All right, Joe. Thanks for coming along as always. Thank you, everyone out there. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that good stuff that's just about to play in a minute. And we will see you guys next week on the Captain's Quadrant. Right. See you guys.
Check out SpectrumSanctorum.net for all of our podcast merch. We have an entire merch store ready to give you all the things that you loved about our podcast. And get notified on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and our Spectrum Sanctorum merch store. Follow us today and be sure to hit that bell when you're watching our YouTube videos so you can be notified of when a new episode releases.